So we decided that we were going to get divorced. We also decided that we weren't just going to get divorced, but that we were going to be the closest divorced couple that anybody had ever seen. We were going to do it for our kids.
What's up, everybody? This is Matt here with the Husband in Law Podcast. This is where we share our stories of love, ex-love, marriage, ex-marriage, divorce, ex-divorce, and coming out of a closet that needed to be opened, and so much more. This podcast is for those who are looking to up their relationship game by understanding first yourself and then others, like your wife, your husband, and your wife's ex-husband on a whole new level. Welcome to the Husband in Law Podcast. Let's get this party started.
Today, we are back with another gay ex here to share his story. This is Dylan. And if you may remember Kaylin's story back in January, Dylan is her ex. And she shared her heartache and journey as he came out to her and what it's been like for her. And now we get to hear his side of the story. Please welcome Dylan to the podcast. Dylan, I am so excited to have you here today and just really appreciate you being willing to come on and share your story with us.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to come and be able to share my story.
Awesome. So as we start these out, I mean, we're here to just share stories to help people feel seen and supported and understand they're not alone, whether they're going through the exact same thing as us or not. And so I would love for you to start, just tell us your story from whatever starting point that feels good.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you. So I agree 100%. It's such an honor to be able to jump on here and to be able to share my story, and hopefully me sharing my story and others similarly will be able to gain the courage in order to live their true life and be their true self. And so I'm excited to start off and share my story coming from my perspective of being born and raised in the church. I was born and raised in a small town of Ephraim, Utah, a very, very small town. Our population is probably like 7,000 people, if that. Like I said, I was born and raised in the church. And so growing up, I always noticed there was something a little bit different about me. Noticing that I was having feelings that being raised in the church towards men is something frowned upon. And as a little boy, I didn't know what that was or what that felt like, but I knew something was different. So going to school and growing up in such a small town, I kind of brushed it aside and just felt like eventually it would go away. And I didn't know what it was at the time. And so I continued to live my life, waking up, going to school, going to church, and just feeling like eventually I'll figure it out. Maybe this is just something that I'm going through right now as such a small kid. And I continued to move forward. And eventually I got to middle school and I started to notice that I wasn't attracted to girls like I should be. And that I was more attracted to guys and finding guys attractive. And I actually got to a point where I was actually punishing myself, where if I looked at a guy and felt like, oh my gosh, he's attractive, I would actually sometimes punch myself in the leg or pinch myself to get myself to change my perspective and my point of view of what I was thinking at the time, because I had constantly been told every day that that was wrong. That what I was feeling was wrong, is that men aren't supposed to like men, women aren't supposed to like women, that it's marriage is between a man and a woman, and you're supposed to get married in the temple. So I continued to do that behavior and brushing it off and pushing it aside, and didn't talk to anybody and thought eventually it'd just go away. So went through high school, same issues. At that point, it became more prevalent that I knew that I was gay. I knew that I was attracted to men. And I continued to hide in the closet and go on dates with women, and thought as I continued to do as that the prophets were telling me and my church leaders and my family, even though nobody knew that I was gay, that eventually it would just go away. I just thought I could pray it away, pray the gay away. So I continued to stay faithful to the church and not act out on any of my feelings towards men or doing anything that would even thinking that it would make it better or that it would just eventually go away. I was a senior in high school, and that's, I might have been a junior, but that's when they changed the age for me to go on my mission. it changed that young men can now serve a mission at 18. And so that was something that I had been told growing up is when you turn 18, you go on a mission. That's just what you do. So I did. After high school, I graduated and worked that summer to earn money in order to go on my mission. And I was called to Durban, South Africa.
Wow.
It was a great opportunity. I was super excited, but I was super nervous. I didn't know what to do or what I was going to do. And so I figured that serving a mission would eventually be another step of showing God that I was faithful and the gate would go away. So I ended up going on my mission and served an honorable 2-year mission. On my mission was the best experience of my life. I would not take it back for anything. I had so much fun and learned to gain a huge respect and love for the people of South Africa. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I didn't feel any of the pressure of having to date. Didn't feel any of the pressure of, the attractions, didn't have any issues. It was just at the point I was living to serve the Lord. And that's the only thing that I had to focus on. And so during that time was almost the easiest time of my life, just being able to take a step back and focusing on something that I was passionate about, and that was helping people. After my mission, I came home and I thought that the feelings had gone away, and they hadn't. I came home and right before I left my mission president told me, your job now is to go home, and this is your calling, is to get married in the temple and create a family. And so that's what I did. I went home and I started dating, even though I was having feelings for men and wanting to go on a date with a man and have a relationship with one.
Yeah.
And then shortly after my mission, it's when I met Kaylin. She's the mother of my 2 kids. And we went on dates. I struggled. I had a lot of guilt. I felt like if I got married in the temple, that would definitely be another way for me showing God that I'm staying faithful and I'm doing what He wants me to do by raising a family and getting married and following the gospel. So that's what I ended up doing. I ended up proposing to Kaylin. She said yes, and we got married in the Manta, Utah temple. And I was thoroughly convinced that there was going to be some magical switch in the temple that was just going to turn the gay off. Like it was just going to go away and that everything would be better. But I went in the temple and came out of the temple feeling the exact same way that I had when I went in. And I felt so much guilt thinking that, what am I doing wrong? There's got to be something that obviously I'm not praying hard enough, or that I'm not faithful enough. I'm not paying my enough tithing. But I went through all these steps in my head and just thought, I read my scriptures every day. I pay my tithing. I go to the temple constantly. I don't know what else I'm doing wrong. So as I continued to talk things over in my head, I went through the police academy shortly after Kaylin and I got married. And during that time, I just continued to push forward towards my little family. And that was a hard part of Kaylin and I's first couple of months of being married, is because I was clear up in Salt Lake in Utah, away from her, and she was by herself. We were newly married, and I was feeling a lot of guilt because I didn't know what to do. And we only got to see each other on Saturdays, and I had to go back up on Sundays. And so it was really, really difficult. And I was struggling at the time and not knowing what to do. We had a baby. We had Hadley, our oldest, after the police academy. And I thought that was just another step of showing my faithfulness of creating this family. And after having Hadley, I didn't know what else to do, because I was still struggling really, really bad. And being a police officer and having training is in mental health in different areas, I started to realize and recognize I was not being kind to myself, and I was going down a path that I didn't want to go down. as I started becoming more and more physically and mentally and emotionally abusive to myself, and thinking that, you know, one day I just decided I just want to go away.
Yeah.
I never got to the point of wanting to hurt myself or do anything that would be detrimental to me or my family, because I had made a promise that I was going to protect my family and that I was going to provide for them. I wasn't sure what that looked like at the time. And I decided that I needed to reach out. I actually had a friend from a gay friend that had reached out to me at the time. And I don't know why, but I opened up to him and I'm like, hey, I've got to tell somebody I'm in this terrible situation. As far as I've brought Kaylin now into this situation, she has no idea what was going on. I was feeling so much guilt. I didn't want to tell her because I didn't want to let her down, because I just truly adored and just loved Kaylin. And I still do. And that was something that I was having such a hard time with. And he said, you need to tell her. You have to sit down and you have to tell her, or else something bad's going to happen. And so one night I went to Kaylin just sobbing, and I said, we need to talk. So I sat her down on the couch and I just cried. I didn't know what to do. I was so scared, especially living in such a small town, being LDS, being very active in the church and in callings, and now having a little daughter and not knowing what my family was going to look like at this point. And I told Kaylin, I said, I'm gay. And her reaction broke my heart. She cried and she was upset. And I don't blame her for being upset, because at that point we had been married for almost, I think it was 2.5 years, 2 to 2.5 years. I'm not exactly 100% sure how long it had been, just because in the moment, nothing else mattered other than I had just hurt Kaylin so bad. And I went to give her a hug, and she said, I just need some space for now. And nobody else knew. It was just her and my friend from high school. Mm-hmm. And so I said, if you need to have some time, you can go and have some time. And she ended up saying that she needed some time to go and talk to her sister and kind of confide in somebody. And in that moment, I was terrified. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I wasn't sure if she was going to turn around and slander me over Instagram and all those things. But in the moment, I should have known better. I know Kaylin. But in the moment, it was scary. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. You know, I had a career where I was a police officer in such a small town, and being a police officer in the town that I grew up, everybody knew who I was. They knew who my family was, and that was really hard. And so she came back that night, and we had conversations, and hundreds of more conversations to come, obviously. But we both decided that we were going to try and make it work. How we were going to do that, we weren't sure. And so we decided that we were going to confide in our families, that we were going to tell our parents and go to counseling, go to therapy, and figure out what we needed to do in order to continue to make our relationship work. Like I said, that was a lot of conversations, a lot of really long conversations. And so that's what we did. We put our heads down and came together and decided that we were going to push forward. At the time, I was struggling with lots of mental health stuff, and so was Kaylin. And that was something that we had to decide what we were going to do to best help our relationship and also our little family. So I started deciding to change my physical activities. And so I'd start exercising every day to try and help my mental health, to get back on top to where I felt more confident in myself and also my relationship with her. So that's what we had decided to do and move forward. And we also decided that we were going to continue our little family. That's when we had Coulter, our little 2 year, well, he's 3 now, but we decided that that's what we wanted to do. And so we continued to push forward and stay faithful. And hopefully we both thought that this might be another step in order to overcome the gay, to my favorite phrase is pray the gay away, that eventually it would go away. And a few more years passed by, and we were coming up on our 6th wedding anniversary, that we were going to be married for 6 years. And Kaylin and I had just come out of therapy. Each had our different sessions scheduled for that day. She had finished before me and was sitting in the car with the kids, and I came down and I noticed she had been crying and I had been crying. And we had kind of had some family members that we had reached out to, and we had talked to everybody at this point. Most of our family knew on both sides. And it was really hard, but we sat down and people had been sending us different podcasts. And that's why another reason why I'm so excited to be on here and to talk about my story is a podcast changed our lives. It's where we actually were able to hear somebody else's story and how they were affected and how it helped strengthen them in the long run. And I was actually working out while listening to this podcast, and I just broke down in tears. And the biggest thing that stood out to me was the individual said, there's more room for me in the plan of salvation than there is for me in the closet. And it hit me. And Kaylin listened to the same podcast and she said the exact same thing. So that day after our therapy session, we were sitting in our car, and I remember it to this day. She looked over at me and she said, I think you know what we need to do. And we both just cried, just sobbed, and held each other in our arms and just cried. And at that part, it was scary. I didn't know what was going to happen. I had several more conversations to continue throughout that week and the weeks to come of what we were going to do and how we were going to move forward. And we even talked about separating for a time, maybe just giving each other some space so we could think through what we were going to do. But having kids, we couldn't just separate and expect our family to keep functioning the way that it was.
Yeah.
So we decided that we were going to get divorced. And with that, we also decided that we weren't just going to get divorced, but that we were going to be the closest divorced couple that anybody had ever seen, just because we were going to do it for our kids. And there were a lot of discussions of that we should just stay in the relationship for our kids, but both of us wanted to be happy. And I wanted that for Kaylin as much as she wanted it for me. I wanted somebody to fully 100% love and appreciate her for what she is. And that is just a beautiful daughter of God. And that's what I wanted for her. And she wanted the same for me. So Kaylin and I ended up getting divorced, going through the process, selling our home, kind of just living our lives the same way we had been, but separated from each other. And it was hard. It was really, really hard coming home from work and having to move back in with my parents, not seeing my kids every day because they were in the same town, but at the same time, different structures, different schedules. Kaylin was working, I was working. We were trying to figure everything out. And for the longest time, we questioned, sat on the couch at my parents' house, at her parents' house, and tried to figure out, did we make the right decision? Is this really what we want? And it was hard. There were a lot of conversations and lots of tears. But we were going to hold to what we said. We were going to continue to have the most amazing relationship and be best friends. And so I don't call Kaylin my ex-wife. I call her my best friend. Or if somebody asks, well, where's your ex-wife? I correct them and I tell them, you mean the mother to my kids. I prefer that term because she is the mother of my kids and she's my best friend. We've been through so much together and she's stuck by me 100% of the way and loved and supported me to where I look back and realize it could have been completely different. Mm-hmm. And if it was somebody other than Kaylin, I recognize that it could have been different and that it could have been a lot worse than what it was to her and I coming together and making a decision and just loving and supporting each other. And so that's where we're at today, is Kaylin and I love and support each other and love our relationship that we have with the kids and with Braxton. And Braxton's my current husband. I met him a year and a half ago, and we've been together ever since. And Kaylin got to the point to where she actually moved up here to be closer to us up in northern Utah. And so we can continue to co-parent and do things together. And we call and talk and have dates and do all these things. And that was something that I didn't think was going to happen. I was worried that my family was going to be different, but it has functioned and worked out amazingly. And I am so proud and so happy that it has. And I'm so grateful for Kaylin. She has been a huge rock in our family and such a support. And she loves and supports us. And I joke sometimes saying that we call her our co-wife because she's literally just another part of our relationship. And she's the kid's mom, and we want to love and support her as much as we can. And she does the same thing for us. If I don't answer, then she's calling my husband and talking to him and bouncing ideas off of each other. And we have a group text chat that's called The Parents. And so we have our little group chat. And the year after Kaylin and I got divorced, she actually called Braxton and I and said, "I need you guys to meet me. We were taking the kids or doing a vacation or doing something, but Kaylin called and said, I need you guys to meet me here." And we met her at a gas station and we were talking, and she said, "Dylan, you and I 6 years ago got married on January 14th. And instead of saying that it's no longer our anniversary, she said, I want to change it and it's going to be our friend anniversary. And so we continue to celebrate that every January 14th is a day where we came together and we decided that we were going to be a part of each other's lives, and that we continued to decide that we're going to be a part of each other's lives, regardless of what that looks like of being together, but also 100% being a part of the kids' lives. And it has worked amazingly. Coming out has been the most relieving thing I've ever done, scariest by far, and the hardest thing that I've ever done. But living my life authentically alongside my husband and Kaylin and our kids is something that I can't explain to anybody. Just the feeling of love that we have. And I love the stares, the random stares that we get in public when somebody's just like, "Oh, yes, this is my kid's mom," or yeah, "This is my kid's dad and our co-parent. This is Braxton. These two are actually married." And it's fun to see people's reactions, and also to be able to show people that it is possible. It is possible to have a relationship outside of the normal LDS relationship, but still also support your kids and support that, you know, there is a God, there is a Heavenly Father, and that He loves and adores us. And I 100% believe that there is room for the LGBTQ community in the plan of salvation. I 100% believe that.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of just a little bit of my story in a nutshell, but it has been something that I'm so proud of, and the steps that we've taken to get here has been amazing.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I really appreciate, there's like a lot of questions that I wrote down while you're talking, but
I'm sorry. I just like blabbed on forever.
You are amazing. I would have cut you off if I felt the need, but it was perfect. You did a beautiful job of sharing that. And
well, thank you.
And I think, like, when I hear you talk about Kaylin and the respect that you guys have for each other and vice versa, because I've talked to her a lot too. It's not an easy process to go through. Like you've said, like, it's scary on your end of thing. It's scary on the straight partner's end of things. Yeah, and it's just when you can handle it with intention and with a lot of respect and appreciation. And that's one of the things you keep saying, like, I'm just so grateful. Like, this could have been so different. And I think about that all the time when Steve, you know, my ex is like, I just really appreciate Jessica. And she could have taken, I've heard these same words from him. She could have done this so differently and whatever. And I'm like, but also this is what makes this work, is having these two people who can see what the other one has done and not focus on the lack and the mistakes we've made. Because there are plenty of those, like on all sides of things, we've all made mistakes. And so having that mutual respect and appreciation goes so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in a relationship with kids, that it has to be that way.
Yeah.
With my job, I've seen it a lot of other ways where people just can't get along and their kids end up paying the ultimate price. And that was something that Kaylin 100%. And I did not want.
Yeah. I think I'm actually just going to wrap it up here because you did such a beautiful job. One of the things I want to touch on is when you said you got to the point where it's both of us deserve to be happy. And I feel that there is, like, you know, you could power through for the sake of the kids if you really wanted, but is that really what we want to show our kids? Is a relationship, like, they can see and sense that it's, while you love and support each other, there's something missing. And so giving them that gift and ourselves that gift of finding a love that is a true fit is such a blessing. And I am so happy for you guys and proud of you for making that happen.
Yeah, well, thank you. And that was something that Kaylin and I both decided, was there's no reason for us to sit and suffer through this, especially it's going to make our kids miserable long term. And like I said, I had enough love and respect for Kaylin. I wanted her to be happy. That is my ultimate goal, and still 100% is. Every time she starts talking to a guy or anything else, she runs straight to Braxton and I, and she wants to know, like, hey, what do you guys think about him? Is he cute? Or are her sending me location updates when she's on dates, just so I know, like, where she's at. She wants to stay safe. I want her to stay safe. And real quick, if you're okay, I'll hurry and share a quick story. But
of course,
Kaylin, after we separated, she started noticing she was getting lots of bruises all over her body, and they were just random. And so I told her, I said, it might be a good idea just to get it checked out. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, prepared her for the worst and ran some tests and told her, you know, this is possibly cancer. As soon as Kaylin left the doctor's office, she called me just hysterical. And I was at my parents' and I said, come here now. We need to figure this out, what's going on. And she just couldn't talk to me. She was just bawling. And so as soon as she got to my parents, I just embraced her and we fell to the floor. And she said, the doctor's concerned that I might have cancer. And I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And my mom came in the room and held us as we cried. And I love Kaylin with all my heart. And I can't express that enough. But the thought of losing her and having to be a single father all by myself, even though I already was, but having her gone out of my life was terrifying. And I love and adore Kaylin, and I want the best for her, and I will continue to want that forever. And they ended up coming back. Test results were normal, which was such a relief. And we cried happy tears over that one. But that's what I'm so grateful for throughout this whole experience of me being able to live truly to who I am, but also being able to love her for who she is and what kind of a person she is and the mom to our kids and what a relationship we have. It's something that I never thought imaginable.
Yeah.
And I pray every day to Heavenly Father that He continues to bless her and our family and what we go through, and that I know she'll make a killer wife to somebody else one day. And I'm so excited for us to have our little family and to continue to grow. But yeah, I appreciate this. I appreciate the opportunity. And I thank you so very much.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things, it's such an interesting thing to love somebody like this. And I always explain it to people. I'm like, Steve feels like my brother at this point. Like that's the closest I can get for people to understand the connection that's there. Like I love him that much. We've had a couple scares like this as well, where one of us was ill or we thought, you know, something might happen. And it's that same feeling. Like I can't imagine losing him, just as if he was still my partner or my brother, but there's no attraction there at this point. But you know, like, and so that's why I try to use that. It's like a sibling. You care that much. But but until you're there, I don't know if you can fully understand it, but we can help by sharing our stories, ideally help other people understand. I have a quote on my wall up here and it says, there are all kinds of love in the world, but never the same love twice. And I just love that so much because I've been remarried for 10 years and it's so true. Like I'm sure, you know, being remarried now, like there's just love expands in the most beautiful ways. So thank you for sharing your story of love for yourself and for your family, and for being willing to put this out there so that other people feel less alone. It was so wonderful to talk to you. And I hope one day to meet you in real life. I haven't met Kaylin in real life either. I just feel like I have.
I know. I told her, I said, we all need to get together. That would be so much fun.
It'd be so fun. Sometime when we're in Utah, we'll make it happen.
Okay, for sure. Sounds good. Well, I appreciate it. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, my friend, I am so excited that you were here today, and I hope that you learned something and felt something as you listened to Dylan's story. The more we listen to the stories, the more we can be understanding and be kind to those around us who are going through something hard that maybe we don't completely understand, but we can empathize with and sympathize with. On Instagram right now, I've been getting a lot of people saying, don't normalize this. Don't normalize somebody coming out when they're older in life. And I just think we need to normalize everybody's stories. There is so much power in normalizing our stories and realizing that every story is different. And therefore, you get to have a different story and create a life that you love and one that works for you. So I'm so grateful for the individuals who are here sharing their stories on the podcast right now. If you would, send them some love by leaving us a rating and review, and also helping other people who need our podcast to find the podcast. And also this month, it's an extra way to send me a little birthday love, and it's by sharing the podcast and or rating and reviewing. It means the world to us, and it means the world to those who need the podcast. So have a great week, and I hope you find some way to celebrate this week. Do something kind for yourself. Do something kind for somebody else. And spread some love this week and every week. Sending you love. Take care. See you next time.